and to hear your word preached, dear God. And I just pray that you would please use this chapter and this truth. This is the type of a sermon that could really change someone's life if they would get the message this morning. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now in Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 14, is the part that I wanted to focus on. Of course, these are the 6 days of creation that are recorded in Genesis chapter 1. And in verse 14, we begin to see the events of the fourth day. It says in verse 14, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night." And watch this part. It says, "And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." Now, God on the fourth day, in His divine plan of creation, decided to place in the heavens. Now, light already existed, we know, from day one. He created the light and the darkness. But He decided on the fourth day to create these heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And He said the purpose of them is to divide the day from the night. The purpose of them is to divide seasons, months, years, signs, and that's why they were created. Now, God took special care to create these because it was important. I mean, that's why He devoted a whole day to stop and create these timepieces, if you will, in the sky. Now, I love the fact that God punctuates our life with these times, days, months, years. And of course, we're approaching the end of the year, and so it's a time to stop and think about this last year and about the coming year. Now turn, if you would, to Lamentations chapter 3. At the end of the Old Testament, you have those three big books, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. Right between Jeremiah and Ezekiel is the little book of Lamentations, right between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Look at Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. Lamentations chapter 3, right between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. I realize it might take you a minute to find it between those two giant books. Lamentations 3, verse 22, the Bible says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not." And then look at the next verse. "They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." And so we see that a new day provides a brand new start. I mean, every single day, the 365 days in a year, each of those days is a new chance to start over, to do things right, to live for God, and to be what you need to be. God gives you a chance to lay the previous day to rest, whatever mistakes you might have made, whatever problems there were, just to go to bed at night, it's all over, and start over fresh in the morning. Have you ever stayed up all night before? Put up your hand if you've stayed up the entire night before. Everybody. You'll notice that you become a little bit edgy when you go through and when I say stay up all night, this is what I mean by stay up all night. I mean you are up the whole day, and then you're up the whole night, and then you're up all the next day, and then you go to bed that night. That's what I'm talking about. Well, by the time you get to the end of that second day, you're going to be very edgy. You're probably going to be a little bit frustrated. You're going to be stressed. Why? Because at night when you go to sleep, you can end that day, you can close that chapter of your life, if you will, and your mind can rest and you can resume and start over in the morning. That's important, to sleep at night, okay? Now, God provided this new year here. You say, well, oh, that's just something that we do in America, we have years. No, God invented years. God invented days. God invented months. God is the one who started this in Genesis chapter 1. And so I think it's very fitting for us to stop and notice that the year is changing and to make some decisions based on that. Look at Exodus chapter 12, the second book in the Bible. Exodus chapter number 12. And this is just the introduction to the sermon. Exodus chapter number 12. Look at verse number 1 of Exodus chapter 12. Notice what God says here. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house." Now here God, this is the story of the Passover, of course. I'm not going to go to the whole story for sake of time, but when the Passover was killed, a picture of Jesus Christ coming someday, He said, I want you to change your calendar and make the first month be the month that the Passover is killed. It's the picture of salvation being a brand new start, a fresh beginning. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so God provides us with this reset button, if you will, these kind of fresh starts, these new beginnings. And so he said in Revelation 21:5, don't turn there, behold, I make all things new. One day this whole world's going to be destroyed, and a brand new heaven and new earth created. Why? Because God is a God of new beginnings, a new start. Off with the old and on with the new. And so I want to preach to you this morning on the subject of a new start in the new year. A new start in the new year. Now, let me give you some suggestions this morning for maybe some goals or some New Year's resolutions, if you will, for this coming year. You say, oh, I don't like New Year's resolutions. God is the one who created this changing of the year to provide you with a brand new start. Why don't you take advantage of that new start? You ought to take advantage of it every day. But in a broader sense, at the end of a year, you ought to decide to close out this chapter in your life and to start out brand new on January 1st, better, greater, more spiritual, living for God like you never have in the past. This coming year should be the greatest year of your life. Don't live in the past. Don't live on 2007. It's time to live in 2008. God is providing us with a brand new year, a brand new opportunity. You have to take advantage of that. Number one, turn to Deuteronomy 17. Here's some suggestions that Pastor Anderson wants to give you for the new year, for some goals and for some resolutions that you can make for the new year. Number one is Bible reading. Bible reading. Look at Deuteronomy 17, verse 18. The fifth book in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 17, 18. This is talking about the king of Israel that would someday be made. It would be Saul would be the first king. But it says in Deuteronomy 17, 18, and it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of the law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. So how often are we supposed to read the Bible? Every single day. It says he'll read therein all the days of his life. Why? That he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. What's the purpose of Bible reading? Number one, to learn. To learn. Oh, I just read the Bible to give a pick-me-up. No, it's not for a pick-me-up. Oh, I read the Bible, it just makes me feel good to start the day. Read the Bible to learn. The more you read, the more you're going to learn. What does the Bible say the purpose of Bible reading is? To learn. Read it to learn. What am I supposed to learn? Well, number one, I'm supposed to learn to fear God. Because when I read about God's mighty acts, when I see the fate of those who disobeyed God in the Bible, when I see their doom and destruction that they always faced, Genesis to Revelation, it's going to make me fear God and say, oh God, be merciful to me and help me to live a righteous life and not face the chastening and chastisement and judgment of God in my life. Hey, the fear of God is what we need to learn. Number two, we need to learn God's commandments. How are we going to know what to do? How are we going to know what's right and wrong? How am I going to know how to live my life if I don't learn it by reading the Bible daily? I'm going to learn what's right and wrong. I'm going to learn what God requires of me. I'm going to learn what His commandments and statutes are. And so it says to read thereon all the days of life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. And then it says in verse 20, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. The person who doesn't read their Bible daily will become a prideful, arrogant person. That's what the Bible says here. Reading the Bible daily will keep you humble. You start thinking that you're a wonderful Christian? Read the book of Acts. Read about Peter, James, and John. Read about Jesus Christ himself in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Hey, it'll humble you to read about the Apostle Paul. It's going to humble you to read the life of Jesus Christ. When you compare it to your own life, you're going to say, oh, wretched man that I am. I am not worthy of the least of thy mercies. And so your heart will be kept humble and right with God by daily Bible reading and fellowship with God. That's what it says. And that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. And so what kind of plan should you make for Bible reading? Well, how about this? If you've never read through the Bible cover to cover, ever, and there are many, many Christians and many people who've been in church for decades who've never read the whole thing cover to cover, If you've never read it cover to cover, your goal for this new year, I don't care whether you just got saved yesterday or a week ago or a month ago or a year ago, 20 years ago, it doesn't matter. If you've never read it, you ought to determine right now that you're going to read it through cover to cover this year. Now, we provide these. They're over on the shelf. We got them in the pulpit, a million of them. This chart right here will tell you how to read through the Bible cover to cover in 2008. Now, in here, I believe it goes through the New Testament twice or just once. One time. So you go through what it tells you to read here, and you will go through the Bible one time this year. And if you've never done it, this is a must. This is not something, well, if you want to really learn the Bible, if you feel like this is for you, God said, man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth. How are you going to live if you don't have every word to read? And so the Bible says that you need to read every word. And so here, we see this plan that we provide for you, if you want to take advantage of this. It tells you right here, like, for example, January 1st, you read Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. You can mark off chapter 1, we just read it. And then in the evening, you read Matthew chapter 1. Boy, that's pretty hard, huh? Three chapters? That's going to take you, I mean, if you're a slow reader, it'll take you 15 minutes to read those three chapters. I mean, that's not difficult at all. So you got Genesis 1 and 2, and then Matthew 1. The next day you read Genesis 3, 4, and 5, and Matthew chapter 2. This is something that you can do. It's something that anybody, oh, I'm busy. You're not that busy. You can read it for 15 minutes. And if you're at a beginner level where you've never read through the Bible cover to cover one time, you say, well, I'm not sure if I have, then you haven't. If you had, you'd know it, because you don't accidentally read through the whole Bible. Okay? And so you don't just accidentally in your Bible reading just turn to, I think I'll just turn to Ezekiel 41 and read Ezekiel 41 through 47 and read about them building the temple and measuring it 500 different ways. And so you're not going to just accidentally read Ezekiel chapter 43 in your Bible reading. Okay, and so if you're at a beginner point, that's what you ought to determine right now and say, God help me, this year I'm going to read through the Bible cover to cover one time for the first time in my life. Boy, it'll change and transform your life. You can't even believe what it'll do if you read through the whole thing. It'll change your whole outlook. It'll change your whole philosophy. It'll change your level of your Christianity like you wouldn't believe, like nothing else. My life changed when I read through the Bible cover to cover for the first time at age 17. That's when my life changed. I mean, it changed dramatically. You say, well, I've already read it. I've been doing that. Well, then you ought to set a bigger goal this year. Read it twice. Twice cover to cover. You could use this chart again if you want. Get two of them. Start in January and start in June. And go through it twice like that. And if that's too complicated for you, I'll explain it to you after the service. You can start in two different places and read through the whole thing and use it as a checklist. You just check it off. Cross it out as you read it. Grab two of these. Mark 1A, 1B, and read it through twice this year. Read whatever order you want. Mark them off as you go. Just read two portions per day, and you'll be done twice this year. Grow in your Christianity. Grow in your knowledge. Grow in your spirituality. Hey, you want the power of God to rest upon you? Know the Bible. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, and God's Spirit will be upon you in mighty power. Read the Bible four times this year. When I was 17, I read through the Bible for the first time cover to cover. When I was 18, I read it through four times cover to cover. I was trying to grow. And so if you want to read it four times cover to cover, make that plan. Read it through every 3 months. And that's not that hard. That's an hour of Bible reading a day. And so whatever your level is, whatever you want to do, don't be discouraged. Start with one time, or if you want to grow beyond that, grow beyond that. But I'm telling you, you ought to take this new year as a plan to start out new on your Bible reading and know God in a way that you've never known Him before. Learn the Bible. Get off your high horse. Learn the commandments of God. And fear God and live right in the coming year. How am I going to live right in the coming year? By reading the Bible every day. That's what it said in Deuteronomy 17. The only way I'm going to keep God's commandments is if I'm reading daily. And so make a plan to read daily. Here's your plan. You don't even have to make the plan. Just grab a plan and take it with you. Number two, not only Bible reading, though, how about Bible memorization? Make a plan for Bible memorization this year. I'll read this for you. Turn to Psalm 119, verse 11. And while you're turning there, I'll read Joshua 1:8. Here's a command of God. You say, well, there's 10 commandments. Well, there's a lot more than 10 commandments, my friend, and here's one of them. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Now, that's a commandment. He says, it shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Look, you want to be successful this year? Meditate on the Word of God day and night. Memorize the Bible. Look at Psalm 119. This is a great chapter in the Bible. It's all about the Word of God. I believe all but three verses directly mention the Word of God. And so it's all about the Bible. It's all about David's love for the Bible. Look at verse 11 of Psalm 119. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Look at verse 43. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. Remember, when you talk about having it in your mouth, that's talking about meditating on it, quoting it to yourself. It says, take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Why? Because I love the Bible. He said, I'm going to meditate therein day and night and speak continually the Word of God. Look at verse 93. Psalm 119:93. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Look at verse 97. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding. And by the way, I talked about this in another sermon. When it says, for they are ever with me, that's not talking about his enemies. He's talking about the commandments are ever with him. How are you going to have God's commandments ever with you? How is God's word going to always be with you? When it's in your mind and in your heart, when you have it memorized. Let's see here. Verse number... Lost my place here. Let's see here. What verse was I on? Tell me. 99? Okay. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. When you memorize the Bible, God will be your teacher, is what the Bible says here. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Look at verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. Verse 131, I love this verse. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Verse 139, my zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do I not forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. Verse 147. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. I hoped in thy word. Verse 148. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. What's he saying there? He's saying, I got up before the sun was up and cried out to God and shouted, I hoped in thy word. He's up before the dawn reading. And then he says, mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate on. He said, and then I stayed up late again, studying the Bible again, meditating on the Bible, memorizing the Bible, quoting the Bible. Even as he laid in his bed at night, the Bible was in his mind and in his heart. Here's a man who loved the Bible. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. Verse 153, consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Verse 161, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. How would you feel if you walked into an old empty house somewhere and you uncovered a few boards and you found $30,000 in cash hidden in the wall? Would you be rejoicing? Would you just say, oh, well, okay. You'd be pretty excited. Let's say you bought the house, you know, so it's your money. Okay, you find it, you're renovating, and you find all this money. Be rejoicing, but you know what? David said, I just rejoice more that I have the Bible, the Word of God, 66 books. I mean, I just rejoice that I live in America and have a King James Bible in my hand, the Word of God. Hey, I just rejoice more in that than in money, than in finding great spoil and treasure. He says, I hate and abhor lying, verse 163. You see, there's always another side to love, isn't there? There's got to be, if you love something, you got to hate something, period. Or else you don't really have love if you don't have hate. See, David said, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. You see, the person who really loves the Bible, they hate lies. They hate when somebody tampers with the Bible, like these new versions that change everything. Boy, it just, if you love the Bible, if you love the Word of the Bible, that burns you up that somebody would change the Bible and pervert it and make it a lie. Boy, it burns you up when you hear somebody get up and say that the Bible's wrong and the Bible has mistakes in it. Hey, that's going to make your blood boil with hatred when you really love the Bible, when it's near and dear to you. I mean, I love my wife. Come up, if you came up to me and criticized my wife to me, that's going to make me angry. Why? Because I love my wife. If you start messing with the Bible, hey, I love the Bible. I'm going to be angry. And David was a man of such a case. And so it says in verse 164, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Wow. Okay, let me give you some figures. You say, well, Pastor Anderson, I see now from Psalm 119, I don't want to forget God's Word. I need to meditate it day and night. I need to hide it in my heart so that I won't sin against God. How do I do it? Well, how about this? Let's say you were to memorize one verse per day in the coming year. Just one verse per day. If you just memorize one new verse and then remember the one from yesterday. Okay. I mean, I could learn a verse right now, you know, and just forget it 5 seconds later. You know, that's not very hard. But to actually memorize a verse and really learn it, and then the next day learn just one more verse, and then quote yesterday's verse, and so on. Did you know that by the end of just 2008, if you just learned one verse a day, you would have memorized the entire 13 chapters of the book of Hebrews. Did you hear that? You'd be able to quote the whole book of Hebrews, one verse a day, and Philemon, and Jude, and 2 John. Those are the four books of the Bible you could have memorized this year if you learned one verse a day. That's a pretty good opportunity, right? I mean, to start out the year, and January 1st, learn one verse a day. By the end of the year, you'll know the book of Hebrews, Philemon, Jude, and 2 John. That's probably more than 99% of preachers in America have memorized, if you just learn those four books. If you love the Bible, memorize the Bible, I'm telling you. Let's say you don't want to do that. How about just one verse a week? Come on. One verse a week? Tell me that's not doable. To memorize one verse in the Bible a week, by the end of the year, you'd have the whole book of 2 Thessalonians memorized. That'd be a great book to memorize, by the way. 2 Thessalonians. Or you could learn the book of Titus by the end of the year, just by memorizing one verse per week. You say, well, what if I'm more advanced than that? If you want to go more advanced than that, let's say you want to just learn two verses a day. You know, if you learn one verse, you'll learn Hebrews, Philemon, Jude, and 2 John. But let's say you want to learn two verses a day. Did you know that you could learn the Gospel of Mark by the end of next year if you just learn two verses a day? Or you could learn Hebrews and the book of Revelation by the end of next year if you just did two verses a day. Or you could learn 1 and 2 Corinthians by the end of next year. Two verses a day. Now, do you see, if you set your mind to it, it's not going to be that hard, is it? It's not that hard. Anybody can do it. And so, make a goal. Make an easy goal. Make a hard goal. Make a medium goal. Whatever. Just use this opportunity to start out something fresh, something exciting, a journey of learning God's Word, memorizing God's Word, and hiding it in your heart. Bible reading, yes. Bible memorization, yes. But number three, how about setting a new goal for the new year about your church attendance? Your church attendance. You know, church is so important. And you say, well, you're the pastor. That's why you think it's important. You know, I wasn't always the pastor. I've been a pastor now for 2 years since I started this church. And before that, church was very important to me. Before that, I moved mountains to get to church and make sure I got there. Before that, I mean, I didn't let anything keep me out of church. I mean, there were so few times that I've missed church in the last 7 years. I mean, the last 7 years, I've missed church when I was so ill that I couldn't even get out of bed. That's happened a few times, you know, severe bronchitis or severe strep throat to where I couldn't get out of bed or anything, and I was very ill. And there are times when you're ill, and of course, you know, you have to stay home. That's fine. But I'm going to tell you something. In 2008, it might be interesting for you to do this, to chart your church attendance, just to see, just out of curiosity, just to see. I mean, what do I mean by that? I mean, write it down on a piece of paper, and I've done this before. Write it down, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and put a little box there, and for all 52 weeks of the year, and check them off, and see how much you're coming to church. And then next year, try and improve on that. Because here's the thing. You say, well, things come up a lot. Of course things come up a lot. Because the devil knows that when things come up, you're not going to come to church. So the devil's going to cause something to come up again and again and again and again and again. Because he knows your weakness. But the Bible says if you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Let me tell you how you're going to improve your church attendance. If you want to improve your church attendance next year, this is how you're going to do it. You will just decide and say, you know what, this is when I'm going to go to church. And nothing will stop me. Nothing. Now, if you say, well, I'm going to try. I'm going to do the best I can. You won't be there. Let me tell you why. Because the devil, he hears you and he sees your lifestyle. And he can tell you that you're saying, well, I'm going to do my best. All he's got to do is just pop your tire. All he's got to do is throw a brick through your window. You don't think he has enough people to do his bidding? You don't think the devil has enough people working for him to throw a window through your throw a brick through your window, pop your tire, make you upset, get you angry, get you upset, get you frustrated? Oh, that's it. I'm not going to church. I'm all mad. The devil will put something in your way if you let him. But if you say, I will be in church, nothing will stop me from being in church. I'm going to be there. If I have to crawl on my hands and knees, I'm going to be there. The devil's just going to say, I'm not even going to try. You know, he might try a few times. And when you show him, when you resist that and say, I'm going to be there, you can't stop me, he's going to go spend his time on somebody that he can mess with. Why would he spend his time on you if you're like a rock? He's going to go find the weak. See, the devil's seeking whom he may devour. See, he may not devour me. I'm not going to allow him to. Are you allowing the devil to ruin your life and to keep you out of church and to keep you from soul winning? Because if he's doing it, it's because you're allowing him to. He's seeking whom he may devour. You got to decide the devil's not going to get me. Devil's not going to keep me out of church. Devil's not going to keep me from soul winning. Devil's not going to keep me from reading my Bible. I am going to be consistent, faithful, like a clock. I'm going to be there. Day in, day out, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, nothing will stop me. And when you have that kind of an attitude, nothing will stop you. But when you have an attitude that says, I'm going to do my best to get there, it's not going to work. And so you have to purpose in your heart, like Daniel did, purpose in your heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. Purpose in your heart and say, I will be there. And I'm speaking from experience. I've seen people say, I'm going to try to make it. You know, visitors I'm talking about that you try to get to come for the first time. I'm going to try and be there. And then literally, I've seen their windows get busted out of their car. The car breaks down. Friends come in from out of town. All of a sudden, relatives are just at their doorstep. Oh, I can't come, my relative. You know, whatever the case may be, something happens. Because the devil already knows that if something happens, they won't come to church. And so he'll just throw it at them again and again. He'll throw relatives at them. He'll throw, just misfortune, vandalism at them. He'll throw whatever he has to, because he knows that all he has to do to get them out of church is just put a little speed bump in front of them, and they're not going to come. But if you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. And you'll be able to come to church next year consistently if you say, nothing will keep me out of church, period. But not only that, so number one, we had some goals and resolutions for the new year. Number one, your Bible reading. If you've never read it, read through one time, cover to cover this year. Use the chart that we provide, if you would like. And then I gave some other goals. Number two, Bible memorization. Set a goal by the end of the year, what you want to memorize. Break it down by the weeks and the days and the months. Whatever you want to do, make a plan to finish that by the end of the year. Number three, your church attendance. Stop making excuses. Just decide that you're going to make it here. Pastor Anderson lives a busy life. I have kids. I have a family. I have a job. Busy life. Never missed a service in the last 2 years. Because I purpose in my heart not to miss a service. Now, one time, I just moved the service. Everybody's thinking about that, right? Everybody's thinking like, yeah, right. One time, okay, this is the only time that I missed, and I didn't technically miss because we just moved the service from Wednesday to Thursday. But this is what happened. I was, and things like this do happen. So I'm not saying if you ever miss, you're not right with God. But what I'm saying is, it's pretty rare that something will really keep you out like that. This is what happened to me when the time that I did not miss, but moved the service. This is what happened to me. I was driving in the middle of the desert between two cities that were both these podunk little towns, probably like Maud, Oklahoma or something, you know. But they were out in the desert. It was between Yucca Valley and something in California. I was 35 miles from each town, right in the middle, and my car broke down. And so I tried forever to get a tow truck and get all this stuff. Finally, I got towed to Yucca Valley, 35 miles. My car went into the shop. I'm looking at the clock, and I had allowed myself 4 extra hours is what I allow myself when I'm coming back from L.A., just in case something like this happens, so I know I'm not going to miss church, okay? So I'm looking at the clock. I'm pacing back and forth, you know. Oh, man, is this going to be done? Oh, man. I'm thinking I'm going to have to drive 85 miles an hour. Now I'm going to have to drive 90 miles an hour. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, I'm calculating how fast I have to drive and everything. And so finally, they get it done. They put in a new alternator. They charge it up. They get it all ready to go. All right, you're on your way. I jump in the car. Ah! You know, take off, flying. I'm thinking, okay, I have to be to Palm Springs by this time. I have to be to Blythe by this time. And I had it all calculated. You know, and I get to Blythe, and I was just right on schedule. I'm telling my wife, lay out my clothes, have it all ready for me. This is how we're going to do it. And I'm flying down there. I get to Blythe and break down again in Blythe. And this time, all the mechanics are closed, and they've given me a bad alternator. Can you believe it? So the alternator goes out, and all the mechanics were closed, and there was just no way to get home. I was so frustrated. I was so mad. I mean, I was just... But what was I going to do? You can't rent a car in Blythe. You know, they don't... I mean, I would have. I would have ran in and grabbed an Enterprise or something, budget rent a car, but... There was nothing I could do. And so we had to just move it to Thursday night. And I was so mad. But finally, at first I was very mad, very irritated, and my wife knows how I am about these type of things. Like, I don't like to miss. And that's why I don't miss. I was so mad, but finally I just said, you know what, God, you're the one who did this, so I'm just not going to worry about it. Okay. And so there are times that happens. The last time I missed church before that was the time that I was so sick I couldn't get out of bed. And then it was years before that, or whenever it was. So stop making excuses. But what about this for church attendance? Maybe you're a Sunday morning only type person. You know, why don't you just add one service in 2008? Right? Branch out a little bit, get into like Wednesday night, you know, or Sunday night. Or maybe branch out onto both would be the best thing, you know, three to thrive. Or maybe say in 2008 I'm going to add one, and in 2009 I'm going to add the other. Whatever. But just at least grow. You want to? How would you like to be an adult? And I'm not mocking anyone, but how would you like to be an adult who is as tall as a 3-year-old for the rest of your life? I realize there are people that have that issue, but I'm saying to myself, that's not normal. Is that how you want to be as a Christian? Do you want to be this tall as a Christian? Everybody else is like up to here. Grow. Now look, if you're this age and you're this tall, that's fine. But you know what? Next year, you got to be a little bit taller than last year, right? You see what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong. And don't ever look down on somebody because they're at a different level of spiritual growth than you. Don't mock them or judge them in your heart or look down on them because we're all at different levels. And remember, you were here at one point. We've all been there. But should we be here just year after year after year after year after year? No. Next year we should be here. And the next year we should be here, here, here. Have some normal Christian growth in your life is what I'm saying. So add a service to your repertoire. Throw a service into your schedule. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't preach a whole lot and preach hard about it. And a lot of churches I've been in, it was like they preach really hard. Like, got to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. The reason I don't like to preach hard on that is just because I truly want you to come here because you want to come here. Not because you just feel like you have to. Because I'm going to tell you something. You ought to want to be here. Because I'm telling you, if you're not here, you are missing out on things that you need to learn from the Bible. There are things that you need right now in your life that will help you with the problems that you're facing, with the decisions that you're facing. It's all here, but you're just not coming to get it, and you're missing out on that. And so it shouldn't be like, well, do I have to come on Sunday nights to be a good Christian? No. You don't even have to come on Sunday morning. You don't have to come on Wednesday. You don't even have to come. But you're going to be a baby for the rest of your life. And so you ought to want to come. You ought to be, thank God, there are some people who wish that they had a good church to go to. They live in towns and cities across America where there's no good church. They would love to come to a church that they can't even, I've talked to people, there's not even a church in their town or anywhere near driving distance that even uses the King James Bible, let alone, you know, says that it's authoritative. But they'll just say, that doesn't even use it. I talked to a man recently, he said, there's no church anywhere on this whole island that I live on. Okay, he lived on an island. He said, there's a Baptist church, there's one Baptist church, they use the NIV. Oh. And he said, there's another church that's some kind of a Protestant denomination that uses the King James. And they were right doctrinally on some things, and at least they had the gospel right. They were wrong on some other things. But he said, that's where I go, because he said, I'm not going to listen to the NIV. Good night. That's sad. He doesn't have a good Baptist King James Bible church to go to. There are people like that all over America can't find a good church. And here we sit, here we are with people that are like-minded, here we are with the King James Bible being preached, the old hymns of the faith being sung. Some people are cringing right now, in church, right now, on Sunday morning. They're sitting in their church, and many elderly people, did you know that? There are thousands of elderly people across America that are sitting in their chair, cringing, going, ugh, as some mini-skirted Jezebel wiggles her bottom on the platform and sings the world's music in the house of God. And they're cringing, saying, oh, sickening. And they grew up in the house. They grew up with fundamentalism. They grew up with the King James Bible. They grew up with preaching and soul winning. And now their church has gone liberal. They're elderly maybe, and they're shy, and they're sitting, cringing in their chair. God help us. What has become of our church? Here we are with an old-fashioned King James Bible-only Baptist church. Show up. Take advantage of it. Don't miss it. You know how many times I've invited a visitor to come to church? A first-time visitor. And me and this person, and I'm talking about several times this happened, but me and that person had talked about a particular issue, or I knew of something in their life that they really needed or that they were struggling with. And I remember they were all set to come to church with me. Something came up. They didn't make it to church. And when I got to church, the pastor preached exactly what we were just talking about. Or he preached exactly what I knew they needed. And I'm just thinking, man, I wish so-and-so was here. He almost made it. And here he's not here, and this is exactly what he would be hearing. And you know what lesson I learned from that? I got in my car and I said, you know what? God had the pastor preach that for so-and-so. I believe God led him to preach that for that guy. Even though he didn't come, God still had it ready for him. And I learned a great lesson that I remember thinking to myself after that particular service. If I miss church, God might have had the preacher preach something just for me, even though I wasn't there. Oh, well, God knew I wasn't going to be there, so he'll save it for next week. No. God will have it there for you on Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning. He'll have it there for you. And if you miss it, you missed it. And it's not God's fault that you missed it, because God had it there. God leads, I mean, when I preach these sermons, God leads me to preach these. I believe that. I believe that God leads me to preach what you need, what I need. And if you're not here, you're going to miss it. And so don't miss it. Decide next year, I don't want to miss what God has given for me. And look what God's given you right here. Don't miss this every day either. Bible reading. I mean, that's even more so. But not only that, so number one, Bible reading. Number two, Bible memorization. Number three, church attendance. But number four, how about a goal for soul winning? Maybe you've gotten into soul winning a little bit this year, maybe sporadically. Maybe you're coming off and on. How about this for a goal? And I'm telling you, I make charts about these things. Especially when you're starting out on these things. I don't make a chart anymore because I have a pattern. But why don't you make a chart and decide there's 52 weeks next year, 2008, I'm going to go soul winning 52 times. Make a checklist. Week 1, week 2, week 3, and check them off. Because there's something about you don't want to not check it off. And you know what I used to do? I used to make these checklists, and I'd do green if I did it and put a check. And if I didn't do it, I'd color it red, a negative, that I missed it. And I didn't like seeing those red marks. It made me mad. And so I wanted all green all the way down. I remember, when was this? I want to say 2003 is when I did this. My wife remembers that I had a little binder for the year 2003. When I went into the year, I had this binder laid out. I had all these different columns, okay? I had it all set up. And me and my friend Roger Jimenez, back in Sacramento, California, man, we had a plan for the year 2003. And we started it out, and one column was for church attendance, that I was always there, you know. And then there was another column about, trying to remember what it was, soul winning, okay. 4 hours of soul winning a week, okay, was the column. And if I'd put the number of hours I went, and if it was four or more, I'd color it green. If it was less than four, I'd color it red. Okay, so I had 4 hours of soul winning, and then I had another column that I would have a visitor in church, either a teenager or an adult visitor in church at all three services, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Okay, that was my goal, and I prayed about this, and I worked at this, and I remember I worked at it, and I had it all laid out. And there might have been some other stuff in the binder, other goals about Bible reading and baptisms, right? I had a goal for how many people I wanted to see baptized. I think it was one baptism a week was the goal. And I remember I started out January 2003, and you know what? And I did this for 2-3 months or whatever it was, and I remember doing it. And I kept up the soul winning all the way through, but I started failing on some of the other goals. But who cares? A lot was accomplished for God just in those first several months. Okay, you see what I'm saying? And so I worked on it, and I remember as I looked back, I got to the end of February and looked back, every time I'd done everything that was my part, I was faithful to church, I did my reading, and I did my 4 hours of soul winning, God reached me those other goals that I'd made about the baptisms, the visitors, and everything else. But then I noticed that the times that I sunk a little bit below what I was supposed to be doing, I didn't have exactly what I wanted in those other ones. But you know, I had more success than failure. I had more often than not, I had somebody baptized, and I had a visitor Sunday morning. And because I had this goal, and I kept it going for so long, that if I didn't have visitors from out soul winning, I would be making deals with people to get them to come to church with me. I remember I worked at Round Table Pizza. I would work their shift on like a Friday night or a Saturday night. These were real desirable times to have off. And I'd say, I'll work your shift on Friday night if you come to church with me on Wednesday night. They'd make that deal with me. I was bringing visitors to every service practically. Why? Because I made a goal to do it. This is what I'm talking about. Set a plan of soul winning this year. 52 times you're going to be out soul winning. Once a week at least, you'll be out soul winning. And you could check it off with the green for good, red for bad. All right. And then you could also have a goal. Maybe you've never seen anybody saved yourself. Maybe you've been a silent partner up to this point. How about a goal of, I'm going to start talking at the door. I'm going to start being the person who's speaking and not just the silent partner. And maybe set a date of by March. I want to work toward that. Or whenever, February, whatever you want to do. Or maybe say January 1st, I'm going to start talking. You, remember? The beginning of this year, Brother Dave was my silent partner back in October, November, December. And he said, I think he just, this was his own decision. He just said, in the new year, I'm going to start talking. He used that, see? He said, I'm going to start talking. And he's probably won somebody to the Lord almost every single week of 2007. Literally. Because he's been consistent out every week for several hours. It doesn't happen fast. You know, you got to work. And so, set a goal of saying, how about this? This year, I'm going to win somebody to Christ. That's my goal. I'm going to win my first soul to Christ this year. I've never personally won somebody to the Lord. I'm going to do it this year. That's my goal. Or how about this? I want to see one person saved per month. And if you get toward the end of the month and you haven't seen anybody saved, you kick up the soul winning. Because you want to reach that goal. You want to hit that goal of one person saved per month. Or you want to go more advanced than that? Shoot for one a week. I'm going to get one person saved per week. I'm telling you, you will accomplish so much more this year if you make a goal and set these goals and resolve to make 2008 a better. It's not just accidentally going to be better than 2007. You've got to decide to grow. You've got a purpose in your heart for it to be a better, great. Don't move backwards. When you move backwards, it's a lot harder to regain that ground. It's a lot easier to just stand your ground. Because I'm going to tell you something, the Christian life is uphill all the way. It's a lot easier just to plant your feet in and stand your ground and don't go backward, and even if you just take a little step forward. But I'm going to tell you something, when you slide back down and then you look up and it's even further than it was before, that's very discouraging, my friend. Don't ever go backwards. And the only way you're not going to go backwards is if you know what you did last year. You got to know that. And then you got to know that this year is going to be better and you're going to make sure it's better. Period. So soul winning. I just gave you some great goals. Soul winning once a week. Winning your first soul. Talking at the door. One salvation per month. One salvation per week. Whichever one of those you want to pick that would fit you and your needs. Prayer. How about prayer? Set a goal. This year I'm going to have daily prayer. Check it off. Check it off on the calendar. You could even use your Bible reading chart. You could check off your Bible reading, and then you could take a highlighter or crayon or whatever, and just if you prayed that day, hit it with green. If you didn't pray, hit it with red. You know, just in addition to checking it off for Bible reading, use it for that also. Daily prayer could be a prayer goal. You're going to pray every day. And here's a great tip for you. You want a great tip on prayer? Get on your knees and pray. Okay, that's how you make sure that you actually pray. Get on your knees and pray. Get on your face and pray. Okay, that's how you make sure that you're really praying. And so that's really deep, isn't it? You're going to get really deep, profound teachings here. When you pray, get on your knees and fold your hands and bow your head. Okay, but I'm serious. Get on your knees and pray, or get on your face and pray. And here's another prayer goal that you could have. Maybe make a prayer list. I've done this before many times. Make a list of things that you want to pray for. Pray down that list, and then put the date as God answers those prayers. Check them off, and see God answer your prayers. I got to hurry, but number six. So number one, we had goals for Bible reading. Number two, goals for Bible memorization. Number three, goals for church attendance. Number four, goals for soul winning. Number five, goals for prayer. Prayer list, daily prayer. Or you could set a time. 5 minutes a day you want to spend praying, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever the case may be, 30 minutes. And then number six, how about quitting a bad habit? Now we're getting into like what the world considers. You know, and they don't really resolve to go to church, read the Bible, go soul winning, pray, memorize the Bible. But nonetheless, I think it's great. Quitting a bad habit in the new year. What you say, Pastor Anderson, what in the world should I quit? What would I quit? Well, how about watching TV? That's a great bad habit to quit. Say, that's a bad habit? Yes, it is a bad habit. It's a horrible habit. Because you say, well, I thought it was going to be about dieting. Or I thought it was going to be about like smoking or drinking. No, because see, here's the thing. Dieting, let's talk about dieting. Okay. Did you know that what goes into your mouth does not defile your body? Because it goes into your mouth and out the draft, the Bible says. But the things that come into your heart are what defile your body. And when you watch that filthy television, you're just defiling your whole heart and your whole body. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Well, that's a great memory verse. When you see the billboard, when you see the magazine, when you see the television screen, just remember this. The light of the body is the eye. Why don't you learn it? Memorize it. It's in Matthew chapter 6. Learn it. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Would you like that to be describing your life? Darkness, the whole thing. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Boy, that's a great memory verse for controlling what you look at. TV. Quit TV. Or phase it out or whatever you want to do. I would quit it cold turkey. overnight. I'd throw it out the window. Literally. Take a baseball bat and smash it up like I did with mine. Throw it in the garbage can. What did Gabriel say? He blew it up with a slingshot or something? Is that what he did? He put the TV in the backyard, he took a slingshot. Boom! Oh, Pastor Anderson, you're so destructive. Yes, I'm destructive. Because the Bible says destroying. He says bring down. Where's that one? I got to find this verse. I'm sorry to get on a rabbit trail, but I want to read this verse. It's a good verse. But let me see if I can find it. I think it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If you want to turn there with me, and maybe you'll find it before I do. Yeah, here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." What's he say? Well, does this sound destructive? Pulling down strongholds, casting down. He's making a picture of a city with a wall around it, a fortress, and coming in there with a battering ram and just slamming it down. Shooting it with cannonballs, you know, and crashing down. Destroying everything that would lift itself up and rear its ugly head in your life and stand against the knowledge of Christ. Some kind of a stronghold or a fortress in your life. Maybe the devil's built a fortress around your TV. To where as you seem to throw away everything else that's bad in your life, it seems like the devil has built a wall around it to where you just can't get rid of it. Boy, break it down. Destroy it. Get rid of it. Did you know that in the book of Acts, when people got saved in a certain city, I forget the name of the city off the top of my head, but they took all their witchcraft books, all their filthy books and witchcraft, they piled them in a big pile, and they lit them on fire, and God gives the dollar amount of those books, and it was just millions of dollars in today's money. I don't really know I didn't have that plan for my sermon to look into that. But I mean, they burned millions of dollars of books. They destroyed them because they were wicked. God said, when you go into the land that I've given you, I was just reading Deuteronomy this week. He said, when you go into the land that I shall give you, he said, destroy everything about that these wicked heathens, the Hittites, had. He said, I want you to break down their images. Break down their pictures. That's the word he uses. Images, pictures. Break down their images. Break down the pictures. Destroy their idols. He said, I don't want you to be perverted by it. Just go in and destroy it. You see, this is what you do with trash. You put it in the trash can. If you want to call that destructive, then okay, it's destructive. You take trash and you destroy it and you throw it. Well, this is what happened to my car. My car became a piece of trash after years and years of driving it. You know what they did? They took it to the junkyard and they crushed it and smashed it into a tiny little block of metal. That's what you ought to do with your TV. Destroy it and throw it in the trash. Just like that car that was worthless, your television is worthless. Okay? So quit watching TV. Quit your rock music. Go through, why don't you do this? Go through your music collection and I dare you to do this. I dare you to do this. Go through your music collection. Take every CD. And I did this when I used to listen to rock music. When I was 17, 18, 19 years old, I remember going to my collection, taking out each CD one at a time, and saying, God, is this CD acceptable to you? And I would look at the back, I would read through the list of the songs, and just ask, God, will you show me whether this is acceptable? He'll show you. It'll be no, 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 no. That's what he'll say. But you might be afraid to ask. But I'm telling you, if you ask, it'll be obvious to you when you get on your knees in front of your CD collection. Hold on and say, God, is this acceptable? Hold up your TV guide. God, is this okay? Is this show okay? Hold up the remote. God, is this something that you want me to have? These are some good ideas. You could have a goal to quit smoking. Yes, you should have a goal to quit smoking in 2008. How are you going to do it? Well, one day, you're going to roll out of bed on January 1st and you're just not going to ever crave a cigarette again. No, that's not going to work. You have to have a plan and a goal and a method to do that. I got to hurry, but dieting is a good goal too. I mean, I made fun of that and made a mockery of that. But you know, you ought not eat junk food. You ought not eat just garbage and put it in your body. It's not a healthy lifestyle. And before I get into that, though, let me put in a disclaimer. Hollywood and the world has a really sick idea about what is attractive. I was in the store the other day. I saw this girl on a picture. I was working in a department store doing the camera systems and, you know, what I do for my job. And I looked at this girl, and she was wearing a short skirt, and it seemed like her legs above her kneecaps were smaller than they were below her kneecaps. That's not healthy. That's not normal. I mean, her legs, you know, did you know that a woman's thighs are supposed to be a little bit bigger than her calves? Okay? And this girl looked like a skeleton. It was gross, and she was being put forth as a beautiful, attractive, sensuous, and it was gross. It was weird. Our society is very weird, and they want every girl to be just skinny and unhealthy. You know, some women are not designed to be as skinny as others. Did you know that as you get older, it's normal to put on a little bit of weight as you get older? That's normal. Okay, you're not going to look like you're 15 when you're 55, and you shouldn't even try to look that way. It's not even healthy. Okay, so you need to have some fat on your body. It's think of it as insulation for the wiring of your body. Okay? I mean, it's a protective barrier there, okay? And not only that, but it's a reserve store for your body, and there's a reason why God put a little bit of fat on your body, okay? And as you get older, that naturally increases a little bit, okay? And you know what? Don't let the world determine to you what is attractive. Somebody who's overly skinny, overly anorexic, and weird is what they put on every TV show, every billboard, and I'm going to tell you something, it's unnatural. They've taught you that that's what attractive is, but it's not. Okay? And so, I'm not going to let the world tell me what attractive is. So, I'm not saying that you should become skinny and starvation and all this weird stuff. But at the same time, you ought not put junk food into your body that's going to make you get obese or overweight or even just unhealthy. Now, I'm not in danger of becoming overweight or anything here. I'm very slim. But I still don't eat a lot of junk food. Because it's not just your weight that's in question here. It's your mind. It's how sharp you can think. It's your energy. It's health. I mean, there are skinny people who have their arteries clogged and die of a heart attack. Okay? So there are a lot of reasons why you should try to improve your diet. I'm not saying go on the Atkins and the low carb and all this fad stuff. Okay? I'm talking about just having a scriptural attitude of saying I'm going to eat a healthy diet. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying go on some weird diet or whatever. I'm saying that in the new year, why don't you just decide to make some healthy changes in your eating habits? How about just adding, let's say you don't drink water. Why don't you just add, you know, a 2 liter of water to your regimen every day? And just fill it up at the beginning of the day, 2 liters of water. I drink personally about a gallon of water a day, and I think that that's healthy to drink 1 gallon a day. But maybe 1 liter, 2 liter, anything would be better than what you're drinking right now if you're not drinking water. And fill it up at the beginning of the day and say, I must finish this by the end of the day. If you get to the end of the day and it's not done, it's just going to be go. Okay, you just have to finish it. That will improve your health dramatically to drink water throughout the day. Or maybe cut out one soda per day. Cut out diet sodas completely, okay? The artificial sweeteners and all that garbage. Cut out diet sodas completely. Cut out a soda here, a soda there. I try to drink a few sodas just so that I don't wither up and blow away in the wind because I don't want to lose too much weight. But, you know, try and make a change. Eat a piece of fruit every day. Add that to you. If you're not a fruit, add some vegetables. Take out a fast food per week or take it out completely. It would be even better to get rid of fast food. Just do something. Just think about it. And I'm not saying go on a diet or any of these kind of things. I'm just saying improve your diet in the new year and make some concrete decisions. I'm going to add water. I'm going to take out this Twinkies and ding-dongs and whatever. And if you eat them, you are a ding-dong. You are what you eat is what the saying goes. And so, you know, zingers and blah, blah. Or how about this? How about this? Decide, ladies, how about this? You're going to start cooking one more extra meal per week. Like cooking it rather than defrosting it. Okay, you know what I mean? That's healthy. That's going to save you money. And we could go on and on. And I'm going to close the sermon. I don't want to go on and on. I focused more on the spiritual. You know, the Bible reading, Bible memory, church attendance, soul winning, prayer, bad habits, sinful habits. But there are other things that you could work on. You know, your finances, your health. You know, we could go on down the list. I don't want to spend the sermon on that. I want to focus more on the spiritual. But I want to close with this. I'm going to close with this one thing. If you're going to put into practice any of the things in the sermon, this is the key. You have to start today, okay? Because if you say, well, I'm going to start January 1st, you're not even going to remember this sermon on Tuesday, okay? You're not going to remember the points of the sermon like you remember right now on Tuesday. So don't say, well, I'm going to start January 1st. It's going to be great. Yes. No. Start today. Get the Bible reading chart today. You say, well, it's going to throw off my whole calendar. Start reading December 30th. Here's a brilliant idea. My son figured this out. He's 6 years old and he figured this out. My wife said in the new year, this is going to be your Bible reading. She handed him a chart of his personal. We read the Bible together with them also, but this is just going to be his personal Bible reading. Okay, Solomon. He's going to personally sit down and read this silently by himself. And he was so excited about it, he wanted to start early. She didn't even tell him to start early, and he was smart enough to know that he needed to start reading on, you know, December 28th or December 29th or whatever. And then just shave off a little bit off the end there, okay? That you can do some other reading. Start today. Today's reading, if you're going to do this chart right here to read it through for the first time, let's see, it's December 30th. So today, you're going to be reading Zechariah chapter 13 and 14. And then you're also going to read Revelation chapter 21. Tomorrow you'll read the short book of Malachi and Revelation 22. That's great stuff. Really great stuff. And so get in. Start reading today. Start checking them off. Get the chart today. Maybe sit down this afternoon and make some other charts like I talked about. Get a little notebook. Start making some charts about your soul winning. I'm telling you, you will learn so much. You will grow so much if you start logging. And this is between you and God. I mean, it's not like you're showing anyone else. But if you start logging, you start turning it into us. But look, if you start logging your Bible reading, log your prayer, log your soul winning, log your church attendance, it'll change your life. Log your eating habits or drinking. I'm telling you, it'll change your life. Actually keep track of your finances. Instead of just swiping the card and saying, come on, come on, come on. It's like approved. Yes! Right? Instead of going to the ATM. See, some of you, the ATM machine is like a slot machine to you. Like, to me, I put it in and I know what's there and I know the money's going to come out. Some of you put in the ATM and your ATM machine at your bank should have a big lever on it. Okay? And you put in your card and you're like, how much should I go for? 100 bucks. You know? You're like, 100, da da da. And you're like, cherry, cherry, cherry. Yeah! You know, 100 bucks comes out. Of course, you just put your account in the negative. You know, 90, 95 bucks, because there was 5 bucks in there. Look, keep track of your finance, for crying out loud. Okay, but let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we love you, and thank you for our church, dear God. And I thank you for this wisdom that I've learned through the years. People have taught these things to me, and I've been taught them from the Bible. I didn't dream it up of my own accord. But Father, I pray that everyone here would learn how to put these things into practice. Help us to take advantage of these wonderful signs and seasons and months and years and days and weeks that you invented in Genesis chapter 1. Help us to capitalize on each and every one of them, dear God. And help us to use this turn of a new year as an opportunity for a brand new fresh start in our lives.